forgiveness and its consequences and its results. These consequences redound to God Himself, to man, to other men, to the universe. God is affected by the repentance of every man. His character, his plan, his ultimate purpose are all enhanced and helped so we can glorify Him. So the universe can see that the plan of salvation is working. The consequences also are to man himself. He's got a clean heart, he's got a renewed spirit, he is now a new creature, all things are passed away, all things have become new. He is restored to his relationship with God, he is restored to his relationship with fellow men. The results of forgiveness are also to be found in society. The Harry Orchard, the convicted murderer, brings a change to the thinking of men, other murderers, by the forgiveness that he accepted from God. He affects society, and it affects the whole universe, because the experiment of sin that Satan introduced is shown to be terrible in its results. Part number one, God's agent of forgiveness. Jesus Christ came to the world. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of man. He came with the power of heaven. He clothed himself with the weakness of earth. He identified with man. He took humanity into himself. He ate with sinners. He lived as they lived. Sometimes without a home, he spent nights under the shade of a bush. He washed where they washed, lived as the poor, that he might reconcile all men to himself. Now what he did was to restore relationships. Sin breaks relationships. When Jesus eats with sinners, those relationships are being restored. When man in Eden ran from God and hid, Jesus Christ, taking upon himself humanity, comes as close to bridge that gap as it's possible for divine power to do. He wanted to bring that communion, that fractured relationship back into harmony with God. Forgiveness is the first step that must be carried out to make this possible. Part number two, Christ's forgiveness restores a strength of self-worth. Adam and Eve fled. They were afraid. They were naked. They were defenseless. And their nakedness produced shame. When Jesus Christ was ready to forgive, he accepted them back on the provisions that he had made. He covered their nakedness. The sacrifice died in their place to provide the covering. The fear was dispelled by love and communion. Peter realized that he was a sinner. "I am a sinful man, O Lord. Don't be afraid. I am going to use you as my minister. I have confidence in you. There is something in you that I value. You will catch fish." Peter fell again. Jesus showed his confidence in him and the message that he sent. "Go tell my disciples and Peter, I have a message for you. I have not cast you aside. You are hiding somewhere, but I want to talk to you." So Christ's forgiveness is ready to restore a relationship that builds the self-worth in the mind of the sinner. He doesn't say, "I will forgive you, but I don't want to live on the same planet with you." He says, "I will forgive you and receive you into my Father's house." He doesn't say, "I will forgive you and put you in another room, but you can sit with me upon my chair, as I am set down with my Father upon his chair. When Jesus Christ approached the publican Matthew, it was to restore a broken relationship, to give to Matthew, who was despised by his fellow Hebrews, a sense that he had something valuable. Come, be my friend, be my disciple, write my story, be my biographer. So when Jesus Christ forgives, he restores in man a feeling of well-being. By investing in man's salvation, he shows that man is worthy to be invested in. Part number three, Christ's concern for our self-acceptance. When a man realizes he's a sinner, that he has fallen, that he has done something wrong, he sometimes cannot accept himself. A parent might do something that in the horror of life brings about the death of his child. For the rest of his life, he is tempted to feel guilty. He condemns himself. He doesn't accept himself as a parent. What did I do wrong? Why did I do wrong? What happened at that time? Jesus is concerned that man should accept himself. And as he talked to Peter, he predicted that Peter's faith would fail. It would bend, but it wouldn't be destroyed. And then he looks to the future. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. In other words, I know what you're going to do. I understand it, but I accept you for what you are. When you come back, I've still got a job for you. You have a ministry to strengthen your brothers. It isn't the weak who strengthen the strong, it's the strong that strengthen the weak. So when he says, strengthen your brethren, he holds before Peter a prospect of restoration. You will be forgiven, you will be restored to the ministry, you have special counsel in your leadership with your brethren. And even though your faith may bend, it will not break. Come back, I am ready to receive you. We are reminded of the experience of Paul and Barnabas and Peter in Galatia. Peter was a great man, a preacher of Pentecost. But he was affected by peer pressure. When he was with the Gentiles and his peers were away, then he ate with them. But when he was with his peers, he maintained Hebrew exclusiveness. And this disgusted the thoroughly converted, world-accepting Paul. And he could accept Gentiles, eat with them, live with them. And Barnabas and Peter then became the targets of his criticism, well designed and accepted. Barnabas, good man, Peter, great man, both restored, accepted themselves, accepted by the church, and continued to serve God. Part number four. Even on the cross, Jesus Christ forgave. While he was being derided, jeered, spat upon, buffeted, ridiculed, he could listen to the prayer of a fellow sufferer, Lord, remember me. And his words are remarkable. I say to thee today, when men are refusing me, when it seems that the demons are victors, when I am apparently in my lowest strength, with minimal authority, I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. Me, paradise. Stepping down from hell to rise to paradise. Confidence, strength, power, assurance. Jesus had it all and shared it all with the penitent who accepted. Christ's confidence gave the thief confidence. you will be with me in paradise. Part number 5. Forgiving leads to victory. The relationship of forgiveness opens the possibility to a new life. Go sin no more. 7 times? Well, it's all right. 70 times 7. But now you're repenting. Don't sin anymore. In his attitude towards the accusers, which was a frame-up of all frame-ups, Jesus Christ could have engraved their sins in the marble pavement of the temple. And perhaps today we would have read that catalogue of crime. But Jesus wrote it in the dust, that the first breath of wind could blow away, the first sprinkle of the rains could wash away, to give them another chance, a hope that would lead even these framers and accusers to a life of victory. Part number 6. What is the focus of this lesson? Forgiveness and its results was the title. The results are trust and acceptance. Do we trust? God has trusted us. Do we accept? God has accepted us.